Good morning, Evergreen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Evergreen, for allowing me to continue to serve as a missionary to the campus. I appreciate this ability this morning to give thanks for your prayers and financial support that finds and shows me that I'm worthy to serve as a campus minister for ACF. I also want to thank you, Evergreen, for the past 30 days. I don't know if you knew that I was on sabbatical. I haven't had a sabbatical for many years, so I thought I would take a 30-day one so I could navigate my way through it. But also knowing that I would be preaching today, I tried to put it on hold and be good to my time with God, but then thought I would peek at it a week and a half ago, and I was glad I did because I had the wrong text. I would have been preaching Ryan's message again this week. But I also am grateful that we are in this Lenten season, and together, what a beautiful journey it is to be able to have the topic of understanding Christ's sufferings, Golgotha, together, and also to have, if you haven't had a chance, to be in a Lenten small group, to be able to process through these things together in community, as Ryan so graciously reminded us, that we are disciples. We are disciples of pain, but we are disciples with Jesus. Thank you, worship team, for leading us that way. So as I begin to share about the sufferings of Christ and their purposes in this fourth message, about how suffering can lead to loving empathy, would you join me in praying this morning? Let's pause. Jesus, if they say, who cares if one more light goes out? If a sky of a million stars, it flickers, it flickers. Who cares when someone's time runs out? If a moment is all we are, we're quicker, quicker. Who cares if one more light goes out? Well, I do. Jesus, thank you that you are that to us today, that you care and you want to validate the values and the aspects of community, the aspects of this season together, that we embrace the greatest suffering of all in what you've done for us, Jesus. And so as we look to our text for today, as we come ready to hear this message, thank you, Jesus, that you bring everything together for your purposes, that we would find comfort and to know you as the God of all comfort. In your name we pray, Jesus, amen. Beloved, the passage today is in your Lenten journal. It will also be on the screen. And would you read together with me our passage from the Voice Version? Together, all praise goes to God, Father of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. He is the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. He consoles us as we endure the pain and hardship of life, so that we may draw from his comfort and share it with others in their own struggles. For even as his suffering continues to flood over us, through the anointed, we experience the wealth of his comfort just as the same. If we are afflicted with such trouble, then know it is and salvation. If we experience comfort, it is to encourage you so that you can hold up while you endure the same sufferings we all share. Remembering that our hope for you stands firm, unshaken, and unshakable. That's because we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. I remind you this week, our focus is on suffering as a path to empathetic love. God identified with us by coming into our world through Jesus. Jesus, as both God and man, actually experienced the pain, hardship, and sufferings of our life with a willingness to die for us. This passage tells us three things. First, from verse 3, we can bring our praise and prayers to God in the midst of our pain, hardships, and sufferings. For example, in this Lenten season, we're halfway completed, but praise God for this theme of suffering that God gives us the journey to walk through these things that challenge us. Second, unfortunately, all of us will continue to experience pain, hardships, and even suffering. Sometimes when you preach, you want to preach good things, right? But here I'm bringing you to remind you, unfortunately, that we are guaranteed to have pain, hardship, and sufferings in our lives. And it says in verse 5, "For even as the suffering continues to flood over us," mind you, I said three important things, not always good news. Jesus is saying here, yes, we will have suffering. To appreciate what Christ suffered for us, we need to experience suffering. The third point is that though suffering comes, God promises comfort in our circumstances. If we suffer, then as verse 5 through 6 reads, we are told that we can endure the suffering that we know others can understand. And so I wanted to just bring us back to how Scripture tells us when Jesus or the writers use the word you, it's the biblical you. And so as we look at the passage, we see what we didn't see in the text that I brought to you today, but in the first part of 2 Corinthians 2 in verse 1, it talks about that this letter was not just written by Paul, but it was written by Paul and Timothy to an entire church, not just one believer. The use of these words demonstrate the depth of Paul and Timothy's relationship. The same love and empathy that they shared for each other, they were preparing to share with the Corinthians in this letter to help them understand the hardships, the pain, the suffering, and what they wanted to encourage, that because they were examples of what suffering and pain and hardship looks like, that they wanted to encourage that the Corinthians would know that they were not shaken or shakable, but instead steadfast in their ability to follow after Jesus, to be those kind of disciples. If you read past the passage and continue into the letter of 2 Corinthians, there were some serious issues going on with this church. Verse 8 notes that they're in Asia, that they were facing hardship. They were facing something almost that it was more than they could handle. And the commentators say that it almost broke both Paul and Timothy, that it was a life or death situation. And it says in verse 8 that the burdens nearly crushed them. So in our journey, sometimes in pain, hardships, and suffering, it is wonderful to have somebody who knows us. Paul and Timothy give us that example. Who was Timothy? Timothy, we know, and we see in the scripture passages that Paul recalls that his mom was Eunice, his grandmother was Lois. He knew his family, he knew the relationship of them, and that they were God-fearing believers. Timothy was Paul's confidant, someone Paul trusted, he mentored, he found encouragement in. And in 2 Timothy 1, Paul longs to, with even to tears, to be reunited with his co-worker Timothy in that letter. He also refers very fondly of Timothy in the names of co-laborer, a child, a brother. What a wonderful opportunity to have someone along the journey, a neighbor, a friend that understood. So as I promised you that this is not going to be good news, but it is good news in our stories, in our lives, in how we live. Pain and hardships and suffering will happen. But God promised us, especially in community, as Ryan encouraged us last week, to find something very special. When life's crises happen or empathy is needed. Empathy in the dictionary means I understand. For somebody to be empathetic, they say they feel you. They validate what is going on in your life as they listen to your story. They are a safe place. We know that the name of Jesus, one of the names of Jesus, Emmanuel, which we often sing at Christmas time, or we are reminded then, means God is with us. The God of all comfort is with us, oftentimes because we cannot see or talk to God and get a tangible physical response. He calls his people, he calls the community to be conduits of comfort, to be safe, to validate, to love. Oftentimes when we visit hardship, it pokes us. How do I know this? Because my hardship is sometimes from being a woman in ministry. I've been in a ministry for a long time, 30 years this year, and I'm grateful for churches like Evergreen that support and encourage by having women on staff. My daughter is blessed. My sisters are blessed. We are able to express ourselves in a way that the body needs just as much as our male brethren as anybody else. Some churches and Christians I know don't know I'm an ordained minister, neither do they know much about me. But here, I'm safe. But when I go out, that's where the challenges come. Because my role is administrative in nature, it says I'm the operations director, it doesn't often include that I am a minister. But then it still affords me a role to be able to touch student lives, to be involved, to be able to hear, and to be able to be invited to the challenge of day to day, but also the celebrations. One situation that poked me hard was when a student invited Bruce and I to come to her baptism service. And we were able to go, and we get in the service. It was partly translated, partly English, partly bilingual. But I heard enough that when it was time to introduce the guests, that they introduced us as Pastor Bruce and his wife. And then they asked us to pray. And then as we know that God is good, I needed that moment with Jesus to be able to then recover, not to respond, but to just pray for this dear sister who was celebrating this day, her baptism. And as I was able to regain composure, to hold it together, to appear that I wasn't fazed, to treasure that moment that it did bother me, but that Bruce was there beside me and let me pray, and then to close us. But my journey reminds us that even that we're in the 21st century, these things still happen. But believe you me, I have also been on the other side of things. I have evoked pain, and I have hurt somebody by saying something stupid, saying something embarrassing. I'm human, but it made people say to me they didn't want to follow Jesus. I tried to encourage somebody one day. It's so painful, I can't even recall it. Bruce goes, why don't you, for more empathy and more understanding from the congregation, maybe you could share the story. I go, no, it's still painful. But they actually were bold enough to say to me, Melanie, if this was anyone else who tried to say this, I would think that you were hurtful and not a good example of Christ. Ouch. But how can we be this comfort? And I want to be able to help you navigate, because as a minister, I'm supposed to do this, but as a calling, I feel the heart to do this and to want you to be able to be neighborly, like Bergman said, to be on the neighbor side. Matthew 25, 36 to 41 helps us understand the challenge of bringing empathy to others who are suffering, and hear it from the Message version. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty, and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, much as shepherds sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. Then the king says to those on his right, enter you who are blessed by my Father. Take what is coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here is why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me. 37 to 40. Then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will say, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone, overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. At the beginning of the message, I read the passage that says God wants to suffer, to comfort those who are suffering. Jesus tells us to employ his ways to bring loving empathy. Every person's struggle with pain, hardship, and suffering is different. But Jesus engaged each person, as we could see through the Gospels, according to their own life or death situation. Some he held in conversation. Some he engaged by calling them to join him, performing deeds of mercy. To some he issued a direct challenge to their way of thinking. Some he employed parables and stories to invite people to consider and think of God's deeper intention. Others he simply touched when no one else would touch them, to connect and communicate a message that they are there, they are loved, how their suffering invited him to be empathetic. Well, the passage is not good news either, because the sheep and the goats is always hard to receive. But I learned something from my friend that the picture about the goat, or that picture, that baby sheep and goats are not easy to differentiate at first. They look alike. And even the statement underneath the photo says that, to be fair, you know, this is actually a sheep, but to me it looks like a goat. And to many of the readers it did as well. But it's, to be fair, why is it easier sometimes to have goaty tendencies? Why is it that we are hard to experience empathy for others when we're experiencing pain, hardships, and suffering? Are we afraid that we're going to say something stupid, unbiblical, and like me, even offend a person and add more salt to their wound? But I know God wants us to be sheep. That's his invitation, that his reminder. So as a woman in sometimes a patriarchal society or who has known pain, hardships, and suffering, I want to invite you to have the courage to be more sheepy, to be sheep. Yes, stepping in courage to those situations may feel like we're walking in minefields. But good news, I know a way through the minefield. We do know that we try more often to be able to be agents of empathy and love when we know suffering. And if we can try, God honors our attempts. How do I know that? December 11, 2018, I had my opportunity. I was up late that night. I was working on some paper for my organization. I work well late at night because the house is quiet. Things are cool, and I have time to be able to set my own schedule. So sometimes I'm up really late. My Facebook friends all say, "What are you doing up so late?" But it was that Facebook calling that night that I was touched and moved to pray for my friend. This is a friend that we were able to visit on Bruce's 60th birthday bucket list to Paris. And Bruce had asked us, this is not just my trip, this is not about me, but Melanie and Bruce, what do you want to do? Chloe said, Paris, Disneyland. Yes, check. He's going to Paris. Yes, check. And I said, you know, we have missionary friends in France. Sometimes it's good to visit friends in that context so you get the behind the scenes or a different scene of what the city is lauded for, the greatness of it. I always do that. But this one day found us for 3 days in our big trip, but also to be able to experience and know and be able to see from what doesn't come in the prayer letters this life of our missionary friend. Our missionary friend took us to the places that he was obedient to, taking him to different parts of his campus, his life. We walked with him and journeyed with him. So at 2 a.m. on December 11th, it was not weird for me to think, oh, I need to pray for my friend. We have history. I've done this before. I prayed for him because God says, Melanie, you need to pray for this guy. And we've asked before, and sheepishly, I wanted to be obedient, but goatly I said, I'm not sure. I know why I'm praying for you. And this was one of those moments, and I thought that there was just something more. But I wrote back on my Facebook page, okay, one of those, I'm praying for your family nights. Hope it's a momentary blessing for you. But just thought I'd ask if something wasn't right. I wish Pastor Jason were here today because this is my favorite slide. When we're awkward and we find ourselves in goaty moments, we feel like Han Solo. Han Solo was the greatest prisoner out there. He could muck himself through different situations, but here was one in New Hope that I don't think he was feeling hopeful. He was in the detention of the Death Star, and he's trying to muck it through and fake that he and Chewbacca are supposed to be there and that Chewbacca was a prisoner. So if you look at that, you know exactly how awkward the moment feels, and we feel those awkward moments. So when I was praying for my friend, it was kind of in my head, I'm okay, everything's all right. And even, like I said in the email, how are you? You know, not owning it, not being the minister I was, not saying, I'm going to pray for you. I feel it. There's something wrong. But the day went on, and there was awkward silence from both God and from my friend. But every afternoon at 4 o'clock, I have this habit of opening my Facebook page to find and read my friend's goofy humor of the day that he writes as a retired minister to people just to see if they're listening. So it could be something as silly as the anatomy of a dog fart or something to get us through the day, and you just laugh and then you could go, oh, I could go back to work. But at 4 o'clock that day, instead of that, a newsflash came that there had been a shooting in France. And there had been 3 people killed. One was still, they weren't sure if he died yet. And there were 12 others that were injured or hurt. Later, it was downgraded to 6. Sheepishly, I wrote back, whoa. Whoa, friend. Holy Spirit anointing prayer, huh? I will continue to pray. And yet the silence continued. But then my friend wrote back and he said, you know, I really struggled with the first part of your little email. It kind of didn't clue me into anything. Nothing was wrong. We're fine. We're good. We're all okay. But then I understood, and I was having a hard time explaining to my students what was going on at the shooting so close to home. It's getting closer these days. And more amazing, my friend is a mutual friend of ours, and I happened on my sabbatical to go to their house because they have a beautiful house 4 times away. And they were actually telling me, Melanie, we heard about you. We heard about your story to this friend, mutual friend. And what you don't know is that he usually drives through that area where the shooting happened. And for some reason that day, the day before he did, the day after he did, that day he didn't drive through. And it just kind of was like, oh my gosh. Mind-blowing. But I was part of being sheepy. It comes so naturally. When God says, pray for this friend, I automatically go and pray now. But to be told again by somebody else, it's that Melanie thing. You know, I'm surprised. And that's how I wanted to continue to be. I want Jesus to continue to minister to my heart, people. And want that for you too, that you would just go, did I feed the hungry? Did I clothe the naked? Did I give drink to the thirsty? Because it would become so natural that you would want to do that. Not to see the person as a person, though I love my friends in France. I don't get to see them very often. I actually saw the wife at Urbana. But also just to be able to see Jesus in everybody and to respond like Jesus says, that we would be like sheep. And as we mature, that even though we might have goaty tendencies, that we will mature to be the sheep people that we're called to be, to have empathy, to have love. So when it comes to pain, hardship, and suffering, I want you to think something more positive. I said PHS, not PMS. For my dear sister friends, no, I did not say that, and I did not mean that. Although it does feel like that. Some of those PMS-y days, I don't miss those at all now that I'm past that. But I empathize with you, and I feel you. So if you're having a PMS-y day, call me, and I will cry with you. But can you join me today in bringing hope to being a part of the suffering that enables empathetic love that is very urgent to some of our friends, to some of our community, to some of our people, to have the conviction to be God's plan for comfort, and instead of asking, why me when this happens, but to go, all right, here's an opportunity that I'm suffering, having pain, hardship, and want to know that because I can understand this Jesus and understand you, then I could help and continue to love people like my friends in France, people like my family, people that don't understand even why I'm doing this. Why are you cooking again for a bunch of people that you barely know? It's because I love them and because I've received it too, and you have too. God has reasons for why he allows us to suffer, but then he comforts us. He wants us to be conduits of comfort, not empty storehouses for comfort, but to then pour out and give to others, to be love in action, to be God of all comfort to the people that don't know that or don't see that or don't feel it. So I want to be able to encourage you to celebrate that Jesus would see the mature sheep in us and not mistake us for goats. I close today with a quote from Morgan Harper Nichols, an American Christian musician, gospel music recording artist, songwriter, guitarist, who said this way better than I could, but that it encouraged me as I began my year this year. She writes, "Let this be the year you go after it. For years your heart desired it, but worry held you back. You allowed yourself to dream courageously, but you forced yourself to end it all at that, or walked away when it got too hard. But after all this time, let this be the year. Let this be the year that you take deeper breaths with eyes wide open, saying yes, running with total abandon in the direction of the courage to suffer with others that you have longed to find for years. Go after it to the mountain, go after it to the valley, go after it in silence between the words in your late night prayers. Go after finding the courage everywhere you pursue it. God will be there, ever loving, ever guiding. He will bring you out of hiding, dispelling every fear, giving courage, giving strength. Let this be the year. Indeed, my friends, may this be your year to redirect the pain, the hardships of life and suffering with God's purposes. May this be your prayer today." Let's pause. Thank you, God, for the reminders to be his comfort to one another in life or death situations of suffering. May you employ empathy to demonstrate God's comfort to one another. Are you willing to listen, to ask the person who sits next to you, or in your Lenten group, or in your workspace, to help them to identify the pain, the hardship, and suffering, and then to be God's comfort, because we know that you have done that for us. You have done that uniquely. Jesus, you know us well. And in that same way, would we carry that to others? Let us redeem pain, hardships, and suffering. Prayer for the pain, help for the loving, ways that we can respond to the hardship, and lastly, serving others with empathetic love to those who are suffering. Jesus, make that so. We give you thanks and pray this in your name. Amen.